Welcome to The Sound of Economics. I'm Giuseppe Porcaro, and we are bringing you this podcast from Bruegel, the Brussels-based think tank specialized in economics and economic policy. Each episode explores an important economic policy debate and discusses it together with the prominent experts and Bruegel researchers. Today, we are going to focus on the issue of indebtedness and its resolution. Many countries have existing debt which is so great that they cannot easily borrow more money, even when that new borrowing is actually a good investment that would more than pay for itself. That is definitely hampering economic growth after the last global financial crisis. We asked Carmen Reinhardt how this affects the speed of recovery. Carmen Reinhardt is professor of the international financial system at Harvard Kennedy School.
The speed of recovery is nothing but disappointing. If you look at 11 of the countries that had systemic crises in varying degrees, by 2014, only Germany and the US had recuperated to the point where per capita GDP was where it was before the crisis. Ireland and the UK reached that point in 2015. But let me say that, and this I do not do forecasts. This is IMF World Economic Outlook. The most recent projections are used. It will take 15 years at best for Greece and for Italy to get back to their pre-capita GDP level. On average, for this group, the years to recovery is about a decade. The actual average for the worst crises is about 8 years. So by any metric, this is a sluggish recovery, and the question is why.
So years after the bursting of the global credit bubble, debt continues to grow. In fact, rather than reducing indebtedness, or in other words, deleveraging, many economists today have higher levels of borrowing relative to GDP than they did in 2007. Professor Reinhardt explains us why.
If you compare this crisis, and we're really now talking about nearly a decade since the crisis, and you compare it to historic crises, deleveraging has been very slow. And I am also here talking about private sector deleveraging. During the crisis, much of what is private debt is shifted over to the public sector balance sheet. And second, recessions during systemic financial crises are both deep and protracted. To put in perspective really what the public debt profile that I'm talking about, how it compares to these past episodes of deleveraging, it compares in orders of magnitude, and it compares unfavorably. I would put to you that now is much worse than at the end of World War II, because this is straight public debt. The private sector had delevered dramatically during the 1930s. So at the end of World War II, what you had was public debt and nothing else. The private sector had very strong balance sheets. Right now, that's not the case. I would also add that there is the big issue of hidden debts, i.e. contingent liabilities, largely in the form of pensions and the like, which were not a big issue at the end of World War II when the population was much younger than it is today.
High debt levels, mix of private and public debts, hidden debt, sluggish recovery. This gives us a rather gloomy scenario in which national, regional, and global economies need to operate on. Maria De Mertzis is a senior scholar at Bruegel, and she's working on the issue. Especially, she's looking at non-performing loans and how they play a role in this story. Maria, based on the scenario described by Professor Reinhardt, what is your analysis?
Yeah, indeed, the problem of the debt overhang that Professor Reinhardt discusses is an important obstacle to growth currently in Europe. But let me say something a little bit more general. I want to set things in the current policy discussions. Debt is the result of a contract, and like all contracts, it has two sides. Those who have the debt, namely the debtors, and those who own the debt, namely the creditors, the banks. When levels of debts are both high and non-performing, as we currently observe, then both sides of this contract are going to suffer. The debtors are stuck with a burden that they may not be able to carry, and the creditors, the banks, they have loans, assets on their balance sheets that are not performing. In current policy discussions, we hear a lot about the banks and the extent of their performing loans in their balance sheets. Addressing this problem, in my view, is important for the health of the bank themselves, but it's also important for financial stability, slightly more generally, and also the creation of the much-needed new credit that is going to generate the growth.
The analysis of the situation seems therefore clear. Bad debts prevent growth, and lack of growth generates bad debt. So, this creates a vicious circle that is hard to break from. We asked Professor Reinhardt, what does she think the solution could be?
Ideally, what we would like is for debt to GDP ratios to have been reduced exclusively by economic growth. So you do reforms, you grow, and debt to GDP is reduced. That is ideal, but it is seldom reality. There are no silver bullets. Everything has pros and cons. Restructuring, this is the no-no term. This is every time, and what is to me very surprising is that I can understand that there's a stigma attached to restructuring of government debts because it has some bearing on sovereign risk and on credibility issues and so on. I have a much more difficult time understanding lack of deleveraging and lack of restructuring on private debts. There is considerable evidence that after the debts are written off, there is a growth dividend. I think restructuring is far more pressing in periphery Europe, and I just don't mean Greece alone. The magnitude of the debt overhang in connection with a very slow growth or slow recovery. The challenges we are seeing in Italy with restructuring the banking system. The fact that growth has still not resumed in Portugal in a magnitude that we would desire. The whole issue of restructuring, which does involve both public and private debts, I think sooner or later will have to be tackled. The end game to the debt overhang is going to involve an unorthodox mix as in previous debt reductions. I am fairly convinced that will be part and parcel of the solution, and I'll leave it there.
So Professor Reinhardt insists that we need to write down debt to facilitate demand for credit. But what about the supply side? We ask Maria.
Indeed, I mentioned earlier the need to remove bad debts from banks' balance sheets. This will deal with the financing part of the problem. It's going to help banks sanitize their positions, and therefore is going to enable them to look for productive investments and finance them again. I think that this part is very well understood in the current discussions in Europe. What, in my view, is not so well understood, and it's certainly not handled with the same degree of urgency, is the other side of the debt distress that is on the shoulders of debtors. Here is where I think Professor Reinhardt weighs in with great conviction. We might deal with banks and resolve bad debts, but that is only going to address the supply side of the problem. With an equal degree of purpose, in my view, we need to deal with the demand side, so that previously bad debtors can be released of unproductive debts and be allowed to engage in productive activities again. And given how big these debts are, as indeed Professor Heyer has just highlighted, some debt write-downs are going to be inevitable. This is good on the one hand for the ultimate resolution of the problem, but we also need to recognize the explicit redistribution of the cost, and we must also do it in a way that does not endanger financial stability.
That brings us to the end of this episode. Thanks for listening to The Sound of Economics. If you are interested in more Bruegel work on debt and debt overhangs, there is also a range of blogs and papers by Maria and other Bruegel scholars available on our website at www.bruegel.org. You will also find the video and audio file of the full lecture that Professor Reinhardt gave on the topic during the last Bruegel annual meetings. We hope you'll join us again for The Sound of Economics. See you next time!